Two More Immunology Roundtable Podcast, edition of July 20th, 2008. Welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm going to describe the manuscript submitted by Miriam Kohl from the group of Bart Lambrecht of the Department of Pulmonary Medicine, Erasmus University Medical Center, Rotterdam, Netherlands, to the Journal of Experimental Medicine this year, volume 205, page 869, called Alum Adjuvant Boost, Adaptive Immunity by Inducing Uric Acid and Activating Inflammatory Dendritic Cells. The goal of the paper is to evaluate the immunological features of the use of aluminum-based adjuvants in antigenic vaccination, as this kind of adjuvant is widely used in clinical applications throughout the globe, although the mechanism involving the adjuvant boost is still under active discussion. The main roles of adjuvant is to provide a depot effect for the antigen, providing slow release, transform the soluble antigen in particulate form compatible with phagocytosis by antigen-presenting cells, and finally improve the inflammatory development and recruitment of antigen-presenting cells to capture and process the antigen. The adjuvant used in these experiments is a mix of aluminum hydroxide and magnesium hydroxide, mix 1 to 20, with ova. The experimental model was a BALB/C mice, adoptively transferred with CFSC labeled OT1 ova transgenic T cells, derived from DO11.10 mice. One day after adoptive transfer, ova antigen or ova adjuvant was injected IP to the mice in the lower right quadrant. Antigen-specific T-cell responses were monitored 2 days after. As shown in figure 1, proliferation was only observed for CD4 T-cells on the right inguinal lymph node and mediastinal lymph node. Interestingly, the ipsilateral lymph node response was due to peritoneal and skin perforation. Indeed, when the perforation of the peritoneal occurred without antigen delivery in the left side, the proliferation of antigen-specific cells also occurred, demonstrating that the inflammatory conditioning was necessary for antigen-specific priming. Longitudinal analysis of ova TCR transgenic cells shows that proliferation is limited to the ipsilateral lymph node and mediastinal lymph node in the first 3 days, but by day 4, cell division is observed in non-draining lymph nodes and also in the spleen. By day 7 and day 14, dividing cells have disappeared from lymphoid organs. In comparison, vaccination with ova in presence of adjuvant showed quite interesting differences. Upon adjuvant antigen co-injection, cell responses were strongly ipsilateral. Furthermore, non-draining lymph node cell divisions were clearly found at day 4 and also in the spleen. Importantly, cell divisions by day 4 is still observed in draining lymph nodes and non-draining lymph nodes. Furthermore, lymph nodes were stimulated in vitro with ova, showed predominant production of IL-5, IL-10, and IL-4 in ova adjuvant versus ova alone, in both draining and non-draining lymph nodes. These results show strong Th2 kind T cell responses on ova adjuvant vaccination. When vaccination occurred in the sacral area intramuscularly, the main lymph nodes was the sacral lymph node. The authors observed more persistent cell responses in the ova adjuvant vaccination once again in this case. In the following experiments, the authors evaluated the innate response upon IP injection of OVA adjuvant in the peritoneal lavage. It is thought that aluminum adjuvants are immunogenic because they induce inflammation at the site of injection, recruiting APCs to the antigen exposure. The authors observed that upon OVA adjuvant vaccination, a drastic and time-persistent drop of macrophage numbers, a clear increase in monocytes, plasmacytoid disease, neutrophils, and myeloid disease and eosinophils during the first 24 hours. Furthermore, the chemokines CCL2, XCL1, and CCL11 were found in the peritoneal lavage upon OVA adjuvant vaccination. Therefore, adjuvant vaccination induced strong recruitment of innate cells, including monocytes, neutrophils, and eosinophils, and production of chemokines. The mobilization of disease in the peritoneal area upon OVA alumin adjuvant provided an opportunity to study DC functional capacity, including antigen uptake, processing, and functional maturation. Even in absence of aluminum adjuvant, disease captured antigen, but antigen capture was greater in presence of adjuvant, as shown in figure 4a. Furthermore, as shown in figure 4b, antigen was indeed processed in much higher efficiency in a presence of adjuvant, as it was present in endocytic acid compartments of disease 5 times more efficiently. Moreover, those disease who have the acquired antigen express higher amounts of MHC class II, sign of functional maturation of disease, as is shown in figure 4c. This last fact was further emphasized in figure 4d, showing CD86 costimulatory molecule in peritoneal lavage disease, which was upregulated clearly at 6 to 12 hours after injection, returning to normal levels by 24 hours. In contrast, aluminium-exposed bone marrow-derived disease does not upregulate CD86. The functional capacity of such disease is reflected on the capacity of mature disease from mice injected with OVA aluminum sorted from peritoneal lavage to induce T-cell proliferation, that is significantly higher than disease derived from OVA-injected mice. One important fact highlighted by the authors is the role of disease in draining lymph nodes. 24 hours after OVA-aluminum injection, mice presented a significant increase in the number of disease and B cells processing OVA-antigen. No processing was found in non-draining lymph nodes. As was shown in figure 3a, the peritoneal injection of OVA aluminum results in increased recruitment of inflammatory monocytes revealed by the following markers: CD11B positive, LY6G negative, LY6C positive, and F480 intermediate. As figure 5 shows, inflammatory monocytes take up massively OVA upon injection in presence of aluminum adjuvant. These inflammatory monocytes, when retrieved from draining lymph nodes, mediastinal lymph node in this case, were able to induce OVA clonal T-cell proliferation, as shown in figure 5b, proving that they were able to process the antigen. These inflammatory monocytes that have captured OVA in the draining lymph nodes show dendritic cell expression markers, C11C, MHC class II, and CD86 costimulatory marker, showing that these inflammatory monocytes have undergone dendritic cell differentiation and maturation upon OVA aluminum injection. To exclude the possibility that the resident draining lymph nodes were the ones that have captured the antigen and differentiated, the authors injected into the peritoneal cavity of mice CD45.1 bone marrow derived monocytes from CD45.2 mice. 36 hours upon OVA aluminum injection, the vast majority of monocytes found in the mediastinal lymph node, draining lymph nodes, were CD45.2, and those were the ones expressing CD11C and MHC class II, as shown in figures 5D and 5E. Equivalent experiments were found in intramuscular injections, and the authors observed antigen uptake by resident DCs and inflammatory monocytes. As was observed in figure 4 and figure 5, in over-injected mice, DCs and inflammatory monocytes are not found in draining lymph nodes. Nevertheless, as we observe in figure 1 and 2, T-cell proliferation was detectable on those lymph nodes. Therefore, the authors suggested the antigen was processed as a result of local capture after getting into the lymph node through afferent lymph in absence of cell migration. To prove this hypothesis, the authors used transgenic mice conditionally depleted by diphtheria toxin. In these mice, human diphtheria toxin receptor is expressed under control of murine CD11C promoter, leading to rapid killing of CD11C expressing cells upon diphtheria toxin administration. Diphtheria toxin administration was applied tracheally, which drains to the mediastinal lymph node. As shown in figure 6A, mice depleted in disease injected IP with OVA had not visible T-cell division in mediastinal lymph node, but those injected with OVA aluminium had. In contrast, ipsilateral lymph node presented T-cell proliferation, showing that toxin did not affect DC outside mediastinal lymph nodes. The authors also tested the situation where diphtheria toxin was applied to the peritoneal cavity, eliminating completely DCs, and here the number of T cells dividing in draining lymph node was dramatically reduced, figure 6b. Fact that could be reverted by the injection of bone marrow derived monocytes, figure 6c. The figure 6d shows that DCs are important for the production of IgG1 immunoglobulins upon antigen injection. Finally, the authors evaluate the role of aluminium in monocyte differentiation upon injection in the peritoneum. As was previously shown, aluminium injection leads to neutrophils recruitment and chemokines production. Facts similarly observed when uric acid is injected in the peritoneal cavity. The authors evaluated the levels of uric acid in the peritoneal lavage after injection with PBS, OVA or OVA aluminium, and only the latter induced increased levels of uric acid, figure 7a. Treatment of mice with uric acid degrading enzyme uricase abolished the recruitment of inflammatory monocytes, figure 7b, and consequent T-cell division and draining lymph nodes, figure 7c and 7d. Uric acid production have been shown to be dependent on IL-1 receptor and MYD88 signaling. As shown in figure 7e, using MYD88 knockout mice, inflammatory monocytes recruitment upon antigen injection was significantly reduced when compared to wild-type mice, demonstrating the role of MYD88 signaling pathway in the inflammatory process and uric acid production. In conclusion, this paper reveals a novel information that inflammatory monocytes mediate cellular and humoral responses to adjuvant antigenic vaccination. The use of adjuvant boosts adaptive and immune responses, and importantly attracts to the site of injection a diverse population of cell types, including neutrophils and inflammatory monocytes, which capture and process the antigen and differentiate to dendritic cells expressing T11C and MHC class II, and then move to the draining lymph nodes, priming antigen-specific T cells. Indeed, such inflammatory monocytes were shown to be critical for the buildup of draining lymph node antigen-specific T cell responses, as demonstrated by the experiments where local DCs were destroyed by the use of diphtheria toxin in the transgenic mouse where diphtheria toxin receptor was under control of murine CD11C. This paper highlights the fact that adjuvants create an inflammatory situation by inducing dangerous signals, such as production of uric acid, and the production of uric acid was shown to be dependent of MYD88 signal pathway that is also involved in toll-like receptor signaling. Another point that deserves interest is the fact that antigen injection does not lead to immediate observation of T-cell division on non-draining lymph nodes and spleen. The authors only observed T-cell division on spleen and on non-draining lymph nodes several days after injection when T-cells have undergone 3 to 4 divisions, akin to effector responses. The authors also observed that ipsilateral T-cell responses occur independently of antigen delivery as a result of peritoneal rupture, and therefore the use of such lymph nodes as control of antigen injection is misleading and should be used carefully as control lymph node for interperitoneal injections. The authors also point out in the discussion the factor of antigen delivery without danger signals and the inflammatory process lead to tolerance, as the results depict that indeed some antigen delivery to draining lymph nodes can be possible through afferent lymph vessels. Finally, the reasons why aluminium results in uric acid production and inflammation. Uric acid is known to be produced by necrotic cells, and aluminium is known to induce necrosis. Indeed, aluminium, when injected intramuscularly, induces cell death and can result in myofasciitis. The release of uric acid can therefore explain the high number of neutrophils called to the peritoneum and chemokines upon adjuvant injection. However, it is still unknown if other factors induced by aluminium are also responsible for inflammation and DC differentiation. So this paper is a very elegant demonstration of the value of adjuvants, and in particular aluminium, in the promoting of adaptive immunity and by inducing uric acid and leading to differentiation of inflammatory disease from recruited monocytes. And like that, I'd like to wrap up the podcast. Please leave your comments and suggestions on the podcast website or send email message to tumorimmunologyroundtable@podomatic.com. Thanks for listening. I hope to join you again soon, and until then, have a nice time.
That was track number 1 from the album First Album by Thursday Group from Magnatune.com.